Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord you're able to join me for the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I've entitled Conquering Canaan, learning from the children of Israel, those who were, if you will, that second generation, that were going in to possess Canaan land. They were going to possess what had been promised to them hundreds of years before to their forefather Abraham. But it took certain characteristics for them to actually dwell and possess in that land. And I want to share eight characteristics. We've looked at a conquering spirit is important, a sense that, you know, you can't go into battle feeling like you're already defeated, because guess what? You will be defeated. But you have to have the knowledge that God is going to fight for you. Jesus has already won the victory for us. And that's, you see, Joshua and Caleb, 40 years before, when they first went in, the 12 spies to spy out the land, if you will, they made the confession that all the ites that were there, all the Canaanites, all those who were heathen and idolaters, they are bread for us, is what they declared. And God is, they knew they had victory in the Lord, just as God moved through little David, and he said, I come against you not in with a sword and a spear, but in the name of the Lord of hosts, hallelujah, the Lord of the armies. And of course, God honored his faith, praise God, in a most unconventional way, with a smooth stone from the brook. He killed and then cut off his head of the giant, praise God. So they had a commission. They were to go in. They were to be strong and courageous. They were to have a conquering spirit, a burning desire for the presence of God. They were to have a sonship mentality, not a slave mentality. And I was comparing that many Christians who just dwell on the negative, that feel defeated, they still have a slave mentality. And God wants us to see and view ourselves as we really are, the children of God, with great and wonderful promises and privileges. All things are yours, Paul said. Praise God. Does it get better than that? And so we found that as under the Old Covenant, of course, God's presence was manifested in the Ark of the Covenant, this gold overlaid box with the cherubim over it, and that symbolized the actual physical presence of God. Aren't you glad we don't have to carry an ark now? We don't have to go to a church to experience the presence of God, although there is an anointing that happens when God's people come together in unity and in praise. But now, God's glory dwells within us. Let me share 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what we need to take a moment to do is look at the characteristics of a slave mentality. First of all, and think about this, what is it like to really to be a slave? Well, as we understand the institution of slavery, that slave existed only to meet the needs of others, the needs of the master or mistress, the needs of the household. That was their sole function. And their needs were met only in sufficiency to allow them to fulfill that main need, which is to be a servant to others. And of course, the value of a slave depended on their performance. Their position in the household depended on how well he or she behaved themselves. And they always worked under law. In other words, that law was the will of the master. Some of them were kind, but a good many would beat slaves. They would be very cruel to them. And so being a slave is not a desirable thing unless you're being a servant and a slave to the Lord Jesus. And he's a wonderful master to be a servant of. But even then, Jesus says, you're no longer servants. I've called you friends. Praise God. So, and lastly, no matter how much a slave wants to please his master, think about this. There's really no basis for relationship because they're a slave, they're in bondage, and they are not free. The master is free. So there's really no basis for relationship. Now, as far as a son, and that's what we've been called, our father, we're able to say, Abba, Daddy, Father. The emphasis there is on relationship. The emphasis is on the son or daughter as a person. And think about this. What's the point of children? Or perhaps I should word that differently. The purpose of a son, I mean, speaking now traditionally, historically, was the son was to carry on the father's occupation in many cases. I'm speaking now of centuries ago. If they were a farmer, they generally carried on farming, or a fisherman, they carried on the fishing industry. Their purpose was to carry on and to take responsibility to raise a family. The eldest son, in case of Israel, had that double portion. They were like the patriarch of the family. Well, we also have a responsibility, beloved. We're children, but we need to take on responsibility in the kingdom. We need to seek the Lord and to realize that he has given each and every one of us a position in his body, and it is unique. No one else can do what we can do, and we have the wonderful privilege and joy of discovering what that is. And also, a son has a love of the family, and that's a key to having a son mentality. Our whole existence is dependent upon our relationship with our father and one another. Now, of course, I'm speaking of healthy families. Unfortunately, there are a lot of families in today's world that they don't have that kind of a blessed relationship that God has ordained for man. And so if we don't have this kind of relationship, we end up working for our father and we get into kind of a slave mentality. And that's why it's important for us to understand our position and our authority in Christ. Now, in terms of a natural son, for example, if someone was a prince and their father was the king, well, then they would wait until that son was matured to assume the full responsibility. But he was in the process of apprenticeship, if you will. He was learning how to ultimately fulfill his life's purpose. And so that now brings me to another aspect of the Joshua generation, if you will. There has to be a purpose in life, and that is a characteristic of someone who is going in to possess their promised land. What is your purpose in life? Do you know? Have you asked the Lord? Obviously, God doesn't want you like the children of Israel, who in disobedience and doubt wandered aimlessly in the wilderness for 40 years. God has a purpose in our lives, and every purpose, there's no greater purpose, I believe, before the Lord. Each purpose is significantly important. It's just like all the cells of your body. They all have a primary purpose to fulfill. And if they're not, if they're sick, then your whole body is going to suffer. Well, it's a beautiful illustration that the Lord gave to Paul about the body of Christ, because we all have a function. We all have a place that God decides. And so this generation that accompanied Joshua, they did not dwell in the past. And that's important for us as believers. The slaves always remembered the garlic and the leeks of Egypt. God said that they were to, you know, forget the former things. He's doing a new thing. That's what he said later through Isaiah. Paul, obviously, was one of the most mature Christians who ever lived. But what he said in Philippians 3:13 was, "Brethren, I count myself I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul cut himself off, think about this, not only from his past failures, but from his past successes. He didn't want to dwell in the past. And so often, and this is just sort of natural, inherent in human nature, older folk, they just tend to live in memories. That's all sometimes they can talk about. I had a spiritual mom who went home to be with the Lord. I think she was 96. And one of the most, she was so sharp in her mind. Her physical body wasn't as strong, and she couldn't see or hear quite as well as when she was younger. But her mind was sharp. And she never, whenever we were together, she could only talk about what God was doing presently. She was not dwelling and living in the past. And I believe that's one of the keys. We have to be constantly aligned, attuned to God's purposes in our lives for now. What God had you doing 5 years ago, it's a different season now. And God is, while he has a purpose and a plan, we have to be sensitive that in every different season in our lives, I mean, as we get older, we can't do what we did when we're 20. Have you found that out? I'm finding that out. But nonetheless, it's just as deeply significant and purposeful as it was when you were a teenager, for example. And so we can't let our past failures cling to us like mud to our feet, which would bog us down. And we can't hold on to past successes, because sometimes there's a danger of getting puffed up with pride when we think, oh, these are all my accomplishments. No, we must realize, as Isaiah said in 43, verse 19, this is the Lord speaking, I'm doing a new thing in your life. Every person has a calling, and we're to find his plans and his purposes, I mean the Lord's, for our lives and fulfill them. Well, my goodness, my time has just absolutely flown. I could just feel I have so much to share, but we'll have to continue tomorrow, and I invite you. We may not finish tomorrow, but we'll just carry on as long as God has us to examine this subject about how to conquer your Canaan. Thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, I'm here for you. UCM Partners, I love you. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.